This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is Issues 2019. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest this week is Wichita Public School Superintendent Dr. Elisha Thompson. Welcome to Issues 2019.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
This is your second time, I think,
yes,
right?
But it still always makes me nervous.
Okay. Well, you're relaxed. Okay, it's going to be okay.
Okay.
Now, you were appointed superintendent, according to my information, July 1st, 2017. So you're beginning what, your second year on the job now?
I'm beginning my third year.
Third year. Okay.
Third year.
See, I was never good at math. In fact, I almost flunked geometry. But anyway, how do you like the job?
I enjoy it. It's very rewarding to be able to work with a group of people who care about kids and want to help them to dream, believe, and achieve, and it's great.
Okay. If it's not too intrusive, tell us a little about your childhood. Where are you from? Where did you grow up?
Well, I am a homegrown Wichita, Kansas native, and I'm proud of that. So I was born and raised here in Wichita, Kansas. I attended public schools here in Wichita and lived over by in the neighborhood around Wichita State University. So I am home.
It's something you could see out the door and say, hey, I want to go there someday or someplace like that. You know?
Absolutely.
So what schools did you go to then?
I attended Carter Elementary School.
Carter?
I attended Chisholm Trail because my mother was a fourth grade teacher and she didn't want to teach me and come home with me in the evening, so she shipped me away to Chisholm Trail Elementary School. I attended Brooks Middle School, and I graduated from The Heights High School.
The Heights High School. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. And did you get, I would imagine after that, you may have gone to college.
I did. I attended a college. I attended Langston University. My mother and all of her siblings attended that school. And so I just kind of followed in that footstep and attended Langston University in Oklahoma. And then I came back to Wichita and finished all of my advanced degrees from Wichita, Kent Snuman, and Wichita State University.
All right. So there's some places you can go to get those degrees.
Absolutely.
Now, did you say your mom was an educator?
Yes.
Now, did you always want to be an educator then?
Well, not really. At first, I thought I wanted to go into a medical field until I saw blood, and then I changed my mind. And so that's what, and then I have lots of people that have inspired me and have been mentors to me, which caused me to say I'd like to do that and make a difference for kids.
Okay. Now, tell me a little bit about your years as a teacher. You're an administrator now.
Yes.
I presume at some time you were in the classroom.
Absolutely.
Teaching those young people.
Kindergarten.
Kindergarten? Really?
My favorite grade, yes.
Well, it would be mine too, because that's the only grade I would be smarter. Get to the first grade, I'm probably going to be lost. How kindergarten, that first year, people don't understand. There's a lot of learning goes on for little 3 and 4 year old minds, isn't there?
Absolutely, there is.
And tell me about that. Tell me about keeping track of those little ones.
Well, little people are they come in. They're eager to learn. They want to learn, and their brains really are at the age now there where you can really pour a lot in at that particular age. And so we get to teach them not only academics, reading, writing, math, those kinds of things, but we also get the opportunity to shape them as having good social skills, all of those things that we want our children to grow up and learn how to be able to do school, mm-hmm. school, and to become good citizens. Now, so it's great.
Do they still do morning and afternoon on kindergarten, or they do the whole day now?
We are full day.
Full day.
When I was, I won't tell you my age, but when I was a kindergarten teacher, we did have, still have half day. So I had two sets of students. So I had one in the morning and one in the afternoon.
So they finally decided that, why, I guess, huh?
Well, yeah, we need it. It takes a little bit more time to make sure that we get all those skills in socially and academically that we need in kindergarten. And so that was a good move, I believe, on our parts.
Is there time to take a nap? I had a rug, you know.
No naps.
I had a nap, and my rug had my name embroidered on there, Stephen, right up on the corner.
Yes, I used to have rugs when I was a kindergarten teacher. You can see how, you know, I won't say my age, but we had those. But now we do not take naps, per se. But we do have opportunities where kids get to have opportunities to kind of decompress is what
yeah.
I say.
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And then have opportunities to also, we still have snacks. I know back in the day we used to have snacks, so we do continue to have those. So it looks a lot the same, but just all day, and we spread things out and give kids more time to be able to get those skills.
It's interesting to me the way you and your people have been welcoming kids to school with a lot of attention and fanfare and a red carpet. What's the thinking behind that?
Well, we're just welcoming our family back. It's like a big reunion.
Just a contrast, when I went to school, it was like I was going to the Shawshank Redemption. You know?
Oh, yeah. You go, oh,
Shawshank
no.
Prison. They were all loading off the bus, and people were hollering at us.
Oh, yeah.
It's interesting the way you're doing that, though.
Well, it's really exciting, to be honest. You know, we want kids to be excited about coming to school to learn, and that it's not a place where they dread to come. We want them to look forward to coming back to a new school year, and that's just one way that we can have them to look forward to something when they come back.
All right. I want you to talk, if you would, talk me a little bit about your enrollment numbers. Now, I know that you probably don't have those finalized for a while, but you've got a pretty good idea how many kids you're going to your schools, don't you?
Yeah, we won't have those official numbers until around September, of course. But currently, we educate a little bit over 50,000 students, and we anticipate being a little flat, you know, as we always are. We stay around that number. Most of, for the last 4 or 5 years, we've stayed around that number. So we anticipate continuing to stay around that particular number.
I was thinking that you got up to about 53 at one time.
Yes.
And then it gets kind of leveled out or dropped a little bit. Wonder why that is.
Yeah, we've actually been looking at some of those things as to why there's a decline. What we do know in Sedgwick County that we are birthing less students.
Fewer people available.
Yeah, that's okay, right. Okay. And then we don't have the influx of people moving into our city as we used to have at that time. And so all of those things factor into our ability to continue to increase enrollment.
Talk to me a little bit, if you will, about the language challenges. This fascinates me. This school district is amazing in the fact that you have so many languages being spoken in the homes of these kids, right?
Yeah, we do. We have about 100 languages that are spoken in the in our homes of our students. We have English, Spanish, Vietnamese, Arabic, Swahili. So again, you have so many varieties that you have. And those are our top few. And it does create challenges. However, it does create this wonderful tapestry of diversity in our school district that our students benefit from as well.
But just teaching, that's got to be tough.
Yeah, we do have an ESOL program in our school district where we are able to communicate with our families, and we have the opportunity also to be able to teach those students the language and then be able to move, and the math, of course, and then we graduate them throughout the system, and then eventually they're out of those newcomers, ESOL programs, into our regular settings.
I'm going to ask, this is one of those questions, there are layers to this answer, but basically how are our students doing on test scores? I mean, you can look at it and say, well, we're up or down. I know you can find some good things in everyone.
Yeah. What we do is, while there is a state assessment data, we look at multiple data sources. And what we are seeing is that our kids, what we anticipate our kids making is 1 year's gain, and our students are doing that. what we're finding when you see those state assessments, our kids are coming in 2-3 grade levels behind. So what we have to do is not only give them that 1 year's gain of growth, is which we are doing, but we have to then accelerate those kids so that they then can catch up to be able to perform on some of the state assessments that you all see. But if you look behind those data, what you are seeing is that kids are making gains and growth at a significant rate. So we're really proud of that. We just got to get that acceleration there so that we can get to those standardized assessments from the state.
And I would imagine there are some school districts in the state that are not nearly as varied as you are in the population. Those kids, you got a lot of diversity.
Yes, we do. And
we talk about the language. You're talking about the racial and ethnic makeup is incredible, too.
We do. And that, again, that gives us uniqueness, but it also creates some challenges. However, we're ready to stand and meet those challenges and push our kids to be able to be the best that they can be.
Doctor, you can't run and hide. They'll find you.
I know.
You're listening to Issues 2019 on the Intercom radio stations, and our guest is Wichita Public School Superintendent Dr. Alicia Thompson. Now, this is the second year of your strategic plan.
Yes.
It sounds like something that's been hatched behind closed doors. No, what's the strategic plan? What exactly is
it? Actually, it's a plan that we went out into our community when I first became superintendent a couple years ago. You know, people say, you've been in the district a long time, Alicia. You should know where to kind of take us. But I think that was not good advice. I went out and I listened to not only our community leaders, but we also listened to our students and our parents and our staff and faculty in our district, to really have them to embrace where we move forward, how we move forward. And that's how the strategic plan was birthed, was through all of our listening sessions and all of the input that we had from everyone. And so, again, we will go out in the fall. I will start again another series of listening sessions where we talk about, since we've been in this strategic plan now for 2 years, getting more input to make sure that we're moving in the direction that people would like us to move, and that we begin to talk about the accountability to that particular plan and the impact that all of us play in helping us to reach those goals. So we'll be out doing that in the fall.
So is this like a structured bullet point outline type thing?
It is.
You've got probably 75 pages?
No, nope, we do not, because people don't follow those.
They tend to ignore those.
They do.
So you keep it pretty simple then?
Absolutely.
Straightforward?
Absolutely. Okay. And then everyone has a role to play, and we all of our systems have been aligned to support that strategic plan. All of our budgeting has been pushed up underneath that. So the things that are not aligned to the strategic plan, we don't do anymore. So we are totally aligned. And we are now working on our accountability pieces and what role each one of us play in ensuring that we meet our goals.
Is there a new early college program at Northwest High School?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
That is an awesome program to work with.
Is that the only school that's got it?
So far, yes.
In Wichita?
Yes.
In USD 259?
Yes.
Okay. Tell me about it.
One of the things we heard in our listening session is that, you know, a lot of times people say, you know, you spend all your energy and your effort just working with the students that need the most help. And so we begin to look at our programming within our district, and that's how the early college came about. And that is an opportunity for our students to be able to take college courses along their high school journey. And when they graduate from that particular program as a 12th grader, they will have 60 credit hours worth of college credits to be able to take with them as they move along. So it just creates another layer of rigor and opportunities to excel some of our high-performing students within our district.
It seems to me, I hate to say this, going to use the phrase when I was in school, but we had some pretty advanced courses that were college prep, and I know I took them. We just didn't get any credit for them.
Yes, yes. Well, we also still have the layers of our AP courses, our honors classes, and so on and so forth. But these particular courses are actually college courses taught by people who have the credentials to teach a college level.
But they're
course.
Right there on the Northwest campus.
That is correct.
Okay. So you think you're going to get that in some other schools too?
Well, we will see. Again, when we roll out something in the district, we try to make sure it works and that we have a good system in place before we expand it out into the rest of the system. But I can tell you that we have a high interest for that within the school district. We have 50 slots this year for our students, and we had about 175 or so folks that applied with only 50 slots. So there is an interest.
I'm thinking, you know, when you mentioned that, I think of two things. First of all, I think about vocationals, because there's a lot of talk about, does everybody need to go to college? Mm-hmm. But what are the opportunities? Do we still have a place where a kid can learn how to a mechanic on a car? Because
Those are some of the most popular things we have in our schools. We have a very
extensive aeronautics stuff.
Yes,
stuff like
we do. Yeah. We do. We have a very extensive career and technical education programming within our school district. And again, it goes back to those listening sessions. We heard that loud and clear. We just don't want you to ensure that our kids go to college. There are other professional folks in our community that do very well that we need to also be able to say to our children, here are other choices as well. So we have an extensive career and technical education program. As a matter of fact, last year was our first year we had of our work with our aviation pathway that we have where our kids are able to go through. We have all kinds of things in the STEM profession as pathways. We have culinary arts. We have tons of options for students to select what it is that they want to do and then have those pathways for them.
It's a broad spectrum. The kids over here, they're going to prepare for college, and these are vo-tech. And then somewhere in there, you've got special ed.
Yes, we do.
And that is the people who are challenged, and they're also the gifted people.
Yes, they are.
I don't think people realize that. Mm-hmm. That special ed, there are some gifted people in there as well as the other.
Absolutely. And then there's some that just need some speech. And then there.
So you have a little bit
of everything. So, yes, we do have a population of special education students. And again, we have lots of support and programming also for that. That's what makes our district a little unique. Well, not really unique. Most people have those in their school districts. But since we have such a wide range of students that we serve, that's the importance of making sure there's programming in each of those spaces and for all of our students so that we can make sure that they all have the opportunity to be successful.
You know, I have a grandson, and he had a speech impediment. And he's in the Catholic schools. But they got him over to Peterson for a year.
Absolutely.
And got him straightened out, okay? And now you can't shut him up. So,
well,
I'm kind of wanting to go. No, I don't.
What I will tell you is that's what we want our kids to do is to speak up.
But anyway, they went to the public schools and they got some really good stuff there. Good education. Tell me about what is standards referenced grading.
Well, I'm glad you asked that. This is something new that we are doing in our elementary schools. Standards reference grading is an opportunity for our teachers to really hone in on grade level standards and be able to ensure that all of our kids have the opportunity to master those particular skills. In the past, you know, as we have our grading, sometimes it's subjective. You know, sometimes kids can bring in things for extra credit, or they can bring, you know, and so what we want to ensure is that those grades that those students receive are up to the grade level, and not only are they at grade level standards, but that we know where there's issues or things with those skills so that teachers can hone in on those specific skills and not just get muddled in some of the other kinds of things. So we're really excited about standards reference grading in the elementary level, and we'll move those up into middle school the following year, and then the following year after that, we'll move into high school.
Do we still do letter grades, A, B, and C's?
We will still have the opportunity at the secondary to be able to, at the high schools, of course, you need those in order to go to college and those kinds of things.
Right.
But in elementary, what you will see is you will see whether or not and where your kid is along the continuum of where they are with specific skills.
This is a place I want to jump in and say that we've talked a lot about this morning about getting these kids ready for college, getting them ready for a career. There's another aspect to education, and it has nothing to do with getting you ready for specific jobs, but making you a well-rounded individual. Talk about that for just a little bit.
Yes.
And softer skills, I
absolutely.
Guess.
Absolutely. And in the listening session, we heard loud and clear that that was an important aspect that people wanted from the school system to be able to do. And we agree because, again, what we hear in our community and from our leaders is that you can have all the skills that you want, but if you can't come into an organization and have good people skills and learn how to problem solve, if you're not a person that can work well in teams and in groups and learn how to be on time to work and all of those kinds of things, you know, you're not going to be a successful person in your workplace. And so we've got to make sure that our students understand that there's twofold when you head out. you got to have those.
That's the appreciation of the arts and the subtle things that that are not. You know, the geometry didn't help me much.
It's critical to be a good, well-rounded.
Right. Talk a little bit about parents connecting to schools through technology. I know that you guys, you at USD 259, have been working on that, and because I can see it, you communicate with us in the media a little bit that way. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, that was, again, the listening session was just awesome for the school district to kind of engage with what our community members were telling us. And one of the things they talked a lot about is, you know, back in the day, we used to say, oh, you come to a meeting, come to an event at the school, come to the school. And, you know, they were like, we don't have time to be coming to the school. There's other ways in which we want you to connect with us. And so we've been trying to do those things. We actually have lots of systems. We have a parent view system that allows you to update your kids' records, look at their grades, communicate with your child's teacher. We have First View where you can track your bus so you can see right on time where your bus is located so the kid can stand inside and wait. And they can say, okay, now it's time to go out to get the bus. So we have tons of ways to do that. You can engage with us on social media. As you know, we're on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We just have, you know, when we do our listening session, we have a town hall meeting on Twitter so that we can just have tons of ways to engage with our families.
Do you have a constant video monitoring of the classroom so that you can tell if these teachers are really doing their work?
Well, we do have opportunities with some of our special needs, the ones that are non-speakers. We do have cameras in our classrooms to ensure that our kids are being taken care of.
There was something that came up the other day, and I wanted to talk about this. There have been some improvements made in security.
Yes.
I don't have Terry Moses with me today, but I've got you. What exactly, two or three little things that you did? Big things, really.
Yeah, they are really big things. We almost got close to $1 million from a grant that we wrote. And with that money, we were able to do some things with our cameras. We have had some really antiquated-looking cameras that we had in our buildings. Now they're all digital. So we know what that capacity we'll be able to do. So we have more of them, and they are digital, so they're much better quality. The other thing that we were able to do is we have some special locks that we have on our particular classrooms, and so that will allow our teachers to be able to lock those rooms from the inside.
Right. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that was so simple to me. You hear something going on, bang, hit that thing and keep whoever is out, keep them out there.
That is correct.
But you've got that. Anything else on that, or did we cover?
So far, those are the bigger items, pieces that we were able to do. We also have other thoughts, things that we would like to do. So we'll continue to look for grants and opportunities to continue to do those for our facility. But we also, not only for safety purposes for facilities, we also have really enhanced some of our work with our social emotional kind of counseling, therapy for students, those kinds of things, and partnership with the county and some of our mental health associations.
Here's a fun issue that's been bandied around across the country. Tell me about vaccinations. You got a couple more you have to do this.
Yes, we do. Yeah. We do. And so those were given to us by our the Kansas State Department of Ed.
Yeah.
They did not say that we had to, but the legislators and the health folks out there say that that's something that we needed to do. And so we have educated our community and our families on those vaccinations and what they need. We have community partners that we can refer our families to in order to be able to get those vaccinations if they need them. And so I think we're ready to go, and people are getting those vaccinations, and we'll just...
We've talked about this before. You have any staffing problems this year? Got enough teachers?
Well, we're better than we were last year.
Better than we were, but you still need some more.
Absolutely. And those specialty areas, as we needed before, which would be special ed, mathematics, and science.
Okay. Are you getting all the support you need from the school board?
Yes. The school board is fantastic.
Is there anybody on there you don't like, you'd like to mention by name now?
Or? I love them all. I love them all.
That doesn't sound right to me.
I do.
I'll let you get away with it. How about the state legislature? How about those people in Topeka?
Yes.
How are they doing?
They're doing great. I think we have have good relationships with them. We actually, in our school district, we meet with our legislators on a regular basis just to answer any questions that they may have, and also to make sure that they have everything they need from us to be able to make decisions when they go to Topeka. So we have a good relationship with them.
Here's your best question of the day. Why should someone choose a career in education?
Well, why not?
I mean, other than the fact that you get paid so much and you got chauffeur-driven cars.
It is a great place to work, to make a difference. And also, you know, you think about, you know, all the people like yourself. I mean, like myself, we all came from good teachers and we made a difference. And I, you know, I talked to some of my teachers and they are so proud when they're able to see, you know, what they've been able to help produce to make this city and this country a better place.
Thanks for spending some time with me. I don't know if you're aware of the fact that I am a product of USD 259.
Yes. Is that the West High Pioneers?
That's the Pioneers.
My husband is a Pioneer.
Hadley Junior High School Pioneers. You know,
yes.
Gotta go.
Awesome.
Thanks for spending some time with us. We appreciate that. We'll have you coming back when you're not so nervous. Our guest is Wichita School Superintendent Dr. Alicia Thompson. That's all for this edition of Issues 2019. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.